T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just talking to all the other teams, we're trying to get a feel for what they're trying to accomplish, you know, trying to let them know what we're trying to accomplish, and then hopefully we'll find a team that, you know, has similarities with what we're trying to accomplish, and we'll be able to get a deal done.
That was Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on a news-filled Friday morning. The Braves getting Dallas Keuchel to a deal for the remainder of the year, and the Hawks, Joseph Martinez might miss some games for Atlanta United. There's news about the Falcons as they get ready to do a mini camp. And so, of course, the Hawks making probably the biggest headlines in town. Well, right there with Dallas Keuchel. They're both making big headlines with a big pre-draft trade with the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn. They've been in some trade deals with the Brooklyn the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you have Allen Crabbe coming to the players involved are less important to me than the picks. Allen Crabbe is a guy that sees a role player. He makes too much money, $17, $18 million, something like that. And he'll come off the bench for the Hawks. Torian Prince goes to Brooklyn. This was a salary dump by Brooklyn. And what Brooklyn wants to do is have max money to be able to go out and make a couple of big free agent moves. For the Hawks, it becomes a different story. The Hawks get, in this deal, pick number 17 in this year's draft. Now, hey, we have another one. You have the Schlenk cut about the rookies Abe, the producer. You have that. This is Travis Schlenk from Tuesday talking about now, this is before the draft last night, talking about all of his draft picks.
Probably don't want to have 5 rookies to the roster next year. So we're just looking at all the combinations that we can do, maybe packaging picks to get to a spot we like better, trying to see what teams might want to maybe give up a future second-round pick.
All right, so did you got all that, right? All right, so now he has 6, not 5, 6. And when he says, you know, trying to talk to teams about, you know, and the previous bite about we're kind of knocking on doors, think of it in terms of playing chess here. He's talking to somebody. Like, let's say he's talking to Cleveland at 5. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the Knicks at 3. Maybe he talked to the Knicks at 3 about this whole 8-10 thing, and the Knicks said not enough. He's talking to somebody, and whatever somebody said, hey, listen, we need this. And now Travis wants to hang on to something, right? Maybe the Knicks said they wanted, you know, 2 first-round picks to move up to number 3, or Cleveland wanted 2 first-round picks to move up to number 5. Let's say that's it. But Travis Schlenk is going, I'm not giving you 8-10. To move up to 5.
You know
so
what?
Now I have 8-17 to move up to 5.
Now, I don't know about 8, because if we went back to the archives and looked at some of the cuts, I don't think he was too happy about 8. Remember, we were talking to him, and he said something to the effect that he knew 10 was the Dallas pick, and he was trying to figure out which pick that was, and he said, okay, that's Dallas's pick. But 8, he was like, not too. So maybe it's 17 and 8. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's something like that. I think when we've talked to Travis Schlenk in the past, John, he's given us as much information as he possibly can without actually showing his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I think it would be a package with that 8th pick in there somewhere, trying to potentially move up a little bit closer.
Right. I think you could make a strong argument that, and we're just guessing here, but you could make a kind of a strong argument that maybe he talked to Cleveland at number 5, and Cleveland said, we want 2 first-round picks. Well, he only has 2 first-round picks, and he's not going to give them 8-10. But now that he has 8, 10, and 17, would it be a shock if he traded 8 and 17 to move up to number 5? No, it wouldn't be a shock at all. Then he'd have 5 and 10. And so that one scenario. Now, other people are weighing in on our Twitter, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and on our Gus tweets in at me, saying, at John Freaky picks 8 and 10 and Bazemore for Blake Griffin. Now, yes, the Hawks would like to part with Bazemore, I'm sure.
That's
at this
a tricky contract, too. Though I do believe.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty tricky.
Right. And that, you have to match the contracts. That right?
Yeah.
And that's a tough one. Blake Griffin, I've heard his name a couple of times here. I'm not a huge Blake Griffin guy. I could be wrong, you. Maybe he would work out. I'm just not a.
I've heard that name a couple times as well. Only thing I can think of when Jamie Dukes used to call him all the time, show pony.
Yeah.
I think he probably has the potential to put butts in the seats, but when you're seriously talking about building your team for the long haul, I don't know if I see Blake Griffin as that guy.
Yeah,
maybe in a different setting, maybe with you know, the young guy. But no, Trey Young, I don't know. Maybe it'd be different with Trey. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You know, Blake Griffin strikes me as one of those guys, Hugh, who's a really good player. He is a really good player, but he's just going to be just damned not to win a ring. I just don't know why. You know what he's going to have to do? He's almost like late in his career, he has to go join a team like the Golden State Warriors to get a ring. He just, I don't know why I feel that way about him, but that's
the best. Oh, he had a nice run.
Know, he did have a nice
and
run.
And he was pretty decent in Detroit from the games that I've seen, because, like, to be totally honest, I didn't see too many Pistons games. I did not see too many. But I just don't know. I have an idea in my head what Travis Link potentially, and the Hawks for that matter, potentially are looking for in free agency. And the only guy, well, two guys, Anthony Davis maybe, and Klay Thompson kind of fit what that criteria is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just off the top of my head. And the reason why I throw AD in there, because there's a lot of fans, you know, that follow me on Twitter that really think that he could be a great fit here in Atlanta.
All right, so let's just play this out. Again, this is radio, right? We speculate. So let's say you call up New Orleans and you say, hey, listen, you guys want to talk about Anthony Davis and a sign and trade. And it would have to be a sign and trade because he's a max player, right? He'd have to sign because his contract only runs through next season. I'm not giving up a bunch of assets. Not that this was what the Hawks would do, because it flies kind of in the face a little bit about what Travis Schlegel is trying to do. But let's say he calls New Orleans and New Orleans says, yeah, 8-10 is not enough. But now you got 8-10-17. Look at it from the Pelicans' perspective for a second. You're getting Zion Williamson at number one. You would have number one, number eight, number 10, and number 17. Man, the damage you could do in this draft and build your team with one draft.
I mean, you're acquiring assets. And you're talking about, in the grand scheme of things, in the NBA, a bunch of guys that are not even considered a sure thing. Now, granted, I know nothing is considered a sure thing. But out of all those guys, Zion Williams is the closest thing to a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow me?
Sure.
So if I'm New Orleans, I don't think I'd be willing to take that chance.
Well, yeah,
especially
it would be,
on the heels.
If you're gonna lose you're gonna lose Anthony Davis anyway.
Yeah.
On the
heels of that,
I mean,
and then this is the thing too, John.
He's gonna walk after next year.
Yes. That's the thing. Anthony Davis, you could trade for him here in Atlanta and he could still walk.
Well, that's why it'd have to be a sign and trade.
Yeah, you still walk. So yeah,
the deal would not go through unless he agreed to sign.
That would be the smart thing to do. But, yeah, it's so many different ways that you can go with this. And I think that Travis has put himself and the Hawks have put themselves in position to – I think they're going to wow some people on draft day.
Yeah, this is really interesting what they could potentially do. You just heard Travis Schlenk. We're talking about the Hawks' big trade last night, which I think is the first at least two trades, and who knows beyond that, for the Atlanta Hawks, the wheeling and dealing of this franchise. It has to make you very happy if you are a Hawks fan, as I am and have been for all these years, to see where this franchise is right now, the position they put themselves in. From going to the Eastern Conference Finals and winning 60 games just a few years ago with that team, and we remember how good Damari Carroll had it that year, and Al Horford and Paul Millsap, and how good the club was through and through under Mike Budenholzer. And we thought maybe this is the breakthrough. And, of course, they ran into the LeBron buzzsaw in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then to have it start to tick down and then be stripped down, it could have been a long wait. But what they did was two things happened. One, you got the right owner. And once you got the right owner, you got the right general manager. And because of those two things, you ended up with the right coach, a new stadium, and the right direction. And they have turned this bus around in a big hurry. The future for the Atlanta Hawks is not only bright, it's close to catching fire. The trade last year for Luka Doncic now is paying huge dividends. Because can I make an argument that the Hawks got the better end of the deal in the trade, but in the better end of the deal, this is the asset that you have in number 10 this year for 8, 10, and 17 to wheel and deal. Man, now that looks pretty good.
It looks good, John. I mean, and the Hawks have put themselves in a great position to be a contender. As far as the Trae Young, Luka Doncic, still small sapling size, in my opinion. I mean, it's great that you have both guys vying for the Rookie of the Year. So that takes a lot of pressure off of Travis Link, especially making that pick where a lot of people question it and making the trade. A lot of people question that. But you have put yourself in position, hopefully, to change the fortunes of the Atlanta Hawks and also attract free agents here. I think that's the biggest thing, because that's the one thing that we talk about acquiring young assets, but that's the one thing that we really haven't touched on yet, whether or not having these young assets and making it an attractive place to play, whether or not that's going to be something that free agents want to do.
Well, I think so. I think that's what they've done.
We're about to find out.
I mean, the whole Killer Mike having a barbershop and the culture and everything that they've changed.
The bottom line is the money and the opportunity to win again, win championships.
Winning championships. But I think that's what they've done. Now, everybody says, well, we should just sit this year and then wait for next year. But what you have to understand is, because you used a number that I think is important for fans to remember. I know we're jumping ahead to free agency here, but it's gonna make a point about this trade. What was the number of free agents? Do you remember off the top of your head, Hugh, that you mentioned to me? It's some phenomenal number of free agents available this year, right?
You know, I completely forgot. I know what you're talking about, but that was a
while ago. But anyway, the number of free agents available this year dwarfs the number of free agents that are going to be available next year. If you're going to make a free agent move, you almost have to make it this year because so many big names are up. And next year, the free agent market is going to be one third or one quarter in terms of value of what the free agent market.
There's a lot
of
big names out there. It's a lot of big names out there. And I think that they're going to try to make a run for quality guys, the guys that fit their philosophy. Like I said, again, the guy that fits that mold for me is a Klay Thompson. If they don't go out and make some major free agent moves this offseason, I don't have a problem with that.
Now
I really don't.
The one caveat is you are now stuck with Allen Crabbe's contract. Okay.
Yeah. But it's an expiring contract, if I'm not mistaken.
Right,
isn't it?
After
yeah.
next year.
Yeah.
I mean, so now you got this $18 million you got to pay this dude. So that kind of that will happen. So really, you can afford to make one move in free agency, right? Not two, just one. So if they want to, you know, I'm not saying they would trade for Anthony Davis, but if they did that, or if they went out and made a run at somebody, you can get one guy in here. Now, it may not have anything to do with that, by the way. Let's go back to 8-10-17-35-41-44. So there are going to be a couple of moves he wants to make here. Number one is he wants to go, this is Travis Schlenk, into the second round, let's say with 35, 41, and 44. You can take all three of those and package them up and move late into the first round. Move up, you know, to 27 or something, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And end up with a late first round pick and either use that or package it forward. This dude is playing chess on multiple levels and thinking about the future, because he got a lottery pick for next year out of the deal too.
And that's another thing that jumps out when we talk to Travis. He was talking about acquiring assets. That's why I'm of the mindset that when it comes to free agency, yes, they're going to look into free agency to help, you know, find guys to help build what they're trying to do. But I think more so for Travis, it's about acquiring younger players to help grow together. I really do believe that's the case. And I would even go so far as to say, John, that Travis is probably already looking at next year's draft as far as some of the potential players that might come out that might be on the radar for the Atlanta Hawks this next year, with him getting all these assets and trying to move up and getting these protected and non-protected lottery picks. I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to build a winner for the absolute long haul.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he is playing chess down the road, and that's why, you know, he's thinking about can he trade for future assets with this year's assets. But to this year, I agree with you. I don't want to get fanciful here about trading for a Blake Griffin or an Anthony Davis or going into free agency for a Klay Thompson or whoever. Let's just go back to this. I mean, if he wants to move up to five, he now has the assets to do so. And if he can get Cleveland to play with him at number five, maybe it's a case, too, Hugh, where it's just as simple as 8-17 to Cleveland for number five. You have 5-10, and you want Jarrett Culver. I mean, maybe it's just that simple.
Maybe. And you know,
or DeAndre Hunter, or whoever.
Who knows? Who knows what that is? But I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to maneuver because he's heard somebody, you know, there's been rumors out there that some people aren't happy with the position that they're in, and maybe they might be willing to move around. So I think that's what he's trying to do.
You know, he got a little bit of a short changed a little bit on the NBA draft lottery. If he had been up two spots, maybe he wouldn't have made this move necessarily.
Yeah, well, yeah. And like I said, he's been as forthcoming with us as he possibly can be. And that's one of the things that stuck out to me, John, when he said that eighth pick. I don't think he had too much of a problem with 10, but for whatever reason, he felt that that eighth pick was going to put him in a better position than he was in, and I think that's what he's trying to do. So I think that eighth pick is going to be packaged with something else, and then he's going to try to move up.
So here's my prediction here. We're talking about the Hawks making a big trade, trading Torian Prince to the Brooklyn Nets for Allen Crabb and a bunch of draft picks, including the 17th pick in this year's draft from Brooklyn to Atlanta. The Hawks also get a lottery-protected first-round pick next year from Brooklyn, and that pick's probably, if Brooklyn makes the playoffs this year, you're talking in the 20s somewhere next year. But, hey, listen, another first-round pick. But you have 8, 10, 17, and you have 35, 41, 44. My prediction is the Hawks are going to take two of their first-round picks and move up, and I think they're going to take their three second-round picks and maybe another asset and try and move back late into the first round and package that with 17 and try and move up again. So I think what you're going to see, or maybe even 10, try and move up again a couple of spots. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of roulette he plays here. He may move up not just once to number 5. He may try and move up to 5, and maybe he tries to move up back into number 8. He may try and get two top 10 picks here again.
That I think that'll probably be a little bit too hard. That'd be kind of hard. I think he can get up to like probably 5 or 6 maybe. Move up a couple spots and do that. I can't see him getting that high. It's going to be – I think the price tag is going to be too lofty.
Yeah, I think it's so fun to watch because he has so much to play with in his arsenal with 6 draft picks, and not just 6 draft picks, but 8, 10, 17, 3 really good picks, and his top pick in the second round is 35. That's almost a late first. So he's got a lot to play with. And here's the other fascinating thing if you think about it for just a moment. How much time did Travis Schlenk spend in Europe? I think he has, and I said this to you, Hugh, I think he's got an ace under his sleeve that nobody's looking at. You know, they're looking at him, you know, he's in the second round somewhere, but he's going there missing on how good this guy's going to be. And I think he's going to have...
European player?
Yeah.
I don't know about all that. But, I mean, that's you said we're speculating. It's great to speculate.
So a lot of fun here. Again, the NBA draft is in 13 days, and the Hawks are going to have a big shindig at State Farm Arena for the NBA draft. And stand by for more news about what the Atlanta Hawks try to do to maneuver their way around to contending next year. You should be very excited about the future of the Atlanta Hawks for a lot of reasons. We mentioned a lot of big headlines on this Friday, including the NFL. There are a lot of big things expected. A lot of NFL headlines will bring you up to speed on exactly what's going on, including a lot expected out of quarterbacks now in Philadelphia and in Denver. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This is John and Hugh.
All right, let's get it on.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We need to see with pads on first. You know, they got the right attitude. They're here ready to work. Eager to learn, and I think that's one of the most important things you can have.
That was Alex Mack talking about those two rookie offensive linemen of the Atlanta Falcons as they get ready for mandatory minicamp next week. And Dan Quinn saying everybody's going to be at mandatory minicamp, which is a good thing. Welcome back to the morning show on this Friday morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. We'll get into Falcons talk, but there's a lot of NFL news that we have to kind of bring you up to speed on. Getting lost at all the headlines this morning. We don't want to get too far. You may have heard before the break, Von Miller was talking about Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Waka Flacco.
About how he has become chief big arm, that he can throw it 80 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that Von Miller, oh, we've got us a Super Bowl quarterback. Well, he's got a Super Bowl ring. That's true. But Joe Flacco got to have to do some proven to me. Now, he is an upgrade over what they've had over the last couple of years. But just because you've got a big arm doesn't mean anything.
He can get the ball down the field. The knock on the Broncos has been they didn't have a quarterback. They got a pretty stout defense, you know, with Von Miller out there.
Mm-hmm.
You get you some nice little receivers, John, and they play good defense. Having a big arm could help you out tremendously.
Yeah, but so often you fall in love with a big arm, you know, and that's the wrong thing to fall in love with. I could cite example. Well, heck, here in Atlanta,
what's his name, George?
Jeff George.
But he was crazy, though. He had issues.
How about Jamarcus Russell?
He had issues, too.
How about Ryan Leaf?
3 quarterbacks with issues. What are you talking about?
And gigantic arms.
Yeah, and issues. And issues off the field. But Joe Flacco is not in that category that you just named. He's not. Super Bowl champion. going to a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, has some pretty decent players around them. I think it's a tremendous upgrade from what they had last year.
And potentially one of the toughest divisions in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, it's black and blue for real over there. They don't mess around.
Your Eagles signed Carson Wentz to a four-year, $128 million extension. They better hope he's a healthy.
You know, it's funny. That's the number one, that's the going rate for quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks that have the potential of a Carson Wentz. You know what I found ironic in that whole thing that happened with Carson Wentz? Was yesterday when he got signed. Donovan McNabb went to Twitter and congratulated him on his contract. And what I found ironic was that immediately after he did that, people went in on Donovan McNabb for congratulating him. Because, you know, as a few weeks ago.
Wait a second. Yeah. They going on. What is it, like the Beehive going after him?
Yeah, they went after him like the Beehive, Beyonce's Beehive. But you know what the irony is, John? I think that in certain situations, even though Donovan probably had good intentions by which congratulating him and showing people that he has no ill feelings toward him, you set yourself up because people went in and talking about you being phony and all this other stuff because he did congratulate the dude after he talked about him potentially being cut in a couple of years. I just thought that was kind of ironic. But yeah. it's
that's true. That's what happens. Did say that.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you're a member of the
media.
Well,
but you know, again, you know, I'm not in the business of backing up Donovan here, but it would be, if I were a talk show host, it would be a legitimate thing to say because you don't know. What we don't – look, pre-injury, Carson Wentz looked like the potential long-term solution for them.
Agreed.
And then he gets injured, and now you – I'm not sure that – I mean, $128 million for a guy that I'm still not 100 on.
But this is where I probably would not have done that. It's because of this reason we're talking about. Like, Donovan was asked a question. He answered it like most media members do. He's a member of the media. He answered the question.
Mm-hmm.
But with the millennials nowadays, when you say something that's negative about them, they take it personal. And then for you to turn right back around and congratulate him, it just seems, you know, for them, it's probably like a little backhanded comment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the society that we live in. And that's the irony of this situation. The true irony is that Donovan McNabb is criticizing a quarterback and is, like, flummoxed because the quarterback got an attitude about him being criticized. When Donovan McNabb was in the same position, when
exact
he was being criticized,
same position.
When he was being criticized, he didn't like it when people talked bad about him. That's what I find ironic about this whole thing with him and the quarterback.
Wait,
and all
people
this other
go
stuff.
To, there, Donovan throwing up all over himself again.
Oh yeah, he would get mad. He would get mad so much so that his family members would say stuff to other people about saying something about Donovan, and to the point where I remember like. Couple of friends of mine, we started in the media, and we used to, you know, visit with Donovan and his family, Mama McNabb, and they kicked us out the press box.
Well, yeah, because you didn't have no chunky soup.
Well, no, because we said something about the quarterback, but but they say what goes around comes around.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, but Carson Wentz, congratulations to him. Uh-huh. Hopefully, he can stay healthy and lead the Eagles to another Super Bowl.
So. Yep. Yeah, well, I hope not, but that's okay. That's just me. Von Miller talking about the fact that Joe Flacco looks like a Super Bowl winning quarterback because he is, but he looks like one in Denver in shorts. Eagles signing Carson Wentz to a four-year, $128 million extension. And then quarterback number three making news is Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady's out there trying to trademark this term Tom Terrific, which has created all sorts of a firestorm. For those of you who don't know, one of the great pitchers in Major League Baseball is Tom Seaver. Okay, Hall of Famer for the New York Mets, was a phenomenal pitcher, and his nickname was Tom Terrific, all right? And so when Tom Brady goes out there, because, New England and New York, Boston and New York already hate each other on 1,000 different fronts. When he starts Tom Terrific, people in New York are going, what are you doing? I mean, and they really got angry. They're screaming at him on sports radio in New York. This is how Tom Brady yesterday responded to all the criticism about the nickname Tom Terrific.
I did. It's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I didn't like the nickname, and I wanted to make sure no one used it because some people wanted to use it. So I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it was. So good lesson learned, and try to do things a little different in the future.
So you did that for Tom Seaver's memory. and not for Tom Brady?
Well, I didn't want people associating me with that because that was something that I didn't want, you know, to have happen. So I don't like the nickname. I don't like when people probably give me many nice compliments. Certainly that. It wasn't something I was trying to do out of any disrespect or ill manner.
So you don't like the nickname, but we're going to trademark it so other people can. Why? What is he talking about?
He was probably talking about I'm guessing here. I do not know, but maybe put like somebody might try to put it on a T-shirt with his likeness, and that way he could stop people from doing that. So you know he could actually sue them, and deter people from doing that. I'm thinking that's maybe what he was talking about, and not knowing that somebody else was called Tom Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's legit. You know, I ain't got no love lost for me and Tom Brady. I mean, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, he got that fine ass wife, and you know, won all those Super Bowls and whatnot. But I think that's what he was talking about, so that any time that it's used, he could come after the people that are doing it. I think with this way, with him not being able to do that or copyright it, now they can do whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what it was. So that way he could deter people from doing that and associating his name with that.
Did I miss it, or did he say something about he didn't want people saying nice things about him or something?
Well, he said he's always been of the mindset that, you know, he doesn't take compliments well. Uh-huh. I do remember hearing that about him. And he's kind of shied away from all of the.
Good, we won't compliment him anymore. I mean, well, we can do that.
And no more. It really matter what you say about it right now. All you gonna say, yeah, all you can say about him right now is all time.
Yeah,
all time greatest QB to ever play the game. So I mean, I think that's what it was. I can't be mad at him for this one because when I heard him say it, I kind of get where he's coming from. I think I kind of get where he's coming from.
All right. Well, we'll see. Apparently, Tom Terrific is Tom Terrific is Tom Seaver. So you know, even if you try and steal the nickname, it ain't gonna fly. You know, it's sort of like. Once one guy has it, you can't really take the nickname from him. Usually it's
but I will
it belongs
say this.
To one guy.
I will say this. If there was ever a guy who could probably make a run for it, I'm not going to say he's going to take it, but can make a run for it, probably be Tom Brady. I mean, real for real. It'd probably be Tom Brady if he really wanted to.
You got plans for the weekend? Big music festival tomorrow night at Solaris Amphitheater in Lakewood. Tickets on sale now. At Ticketmaster.com, it's the Tycoon Music Festival starring Kendrick Lamar, Chris Brown, Trey Songz, 50 Cent, and more. Tickets going fast, but there are a few available at Ticketmaster.com if you want to get out to the concert tomorrow night at Lakewood. It's the Solaris Amphitheater. Now, I'm so used to Hugh calling it the Lakewood Amphitheater.
And that's not the name on the thing, right?
No, right. It's now the Solaris Amphitheater at Lakewood. Tomorrow night on June 8th with the Tycoon Music Festival, tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. All right, mentioned to you this Friday is loaded with headlines. Dallas Keuchel's a Brave, et cetera, et cetera. The Hawks make a big trade. And game four tonight. And why a Warriors owner, part owner, who has been banned from the NBA for a year is a big deal. We'll talk about that next with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Now back with more John and Hugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely a fan. How can you not be a fan?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game four of the NBA Finals tonight. Critical game for the Golden State Warriors. Will Klay Thompson play? Maybe. Will Kevin Durant, Will Kevin Durant play? No.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. In and around the finals, there are other side stories, Drake or Beyonce. But the real big side story now has become this incident that happened in Game 3 where Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors was chasing after a loose ball, goes into the first row, stands there courtside. And then one of the minority owners of the Golden State Warriors, a guy named Mark Stevens, who's a tech billionaire, reaches over and shoves, just throws a little forearm shivvy, or hand into Kyle Lowry and says something, according to Kyle. He said, he said something anyway.
Really? I didn't see those reports. What did he say? Something negative?
Go do something.
Make love to yourself.
Something like that. Anyway, this Mark Stevens, the Warriors have reacted very negatively. The NBA's reacted negatively. LeBron reacted negatively. This Mark Stevens has been banned from going to games for a full year, not just for the for this game four, but for a full year, and fined $500,000. Not in his world, $500,000 is
not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. It's exactly 0.0002% of his income or his net worth. That's how little it is. This guy's a billionaire. But it does bring up a larger point. And Kyle Lowry went on ESPN and talked about this incident and what he thought about it.
He reached over and put his hands on me for no reason. Right. And then he said a couple, you know, some vulgar words to me and you know, repeated them repeatedly. But, you know, in our league, there's no place for that. You know, honestly, I hope he's never allowed to come to an NBA game because he shouldn't have did that. There is no place for that. And, you know, and luckily, you know, they threw him out. I talked to the league's security already and explained myself. And, you know, I don't really, you know, the fans have a place. We sure. love our fans. But fans like that, they shouldn't be allowed to be in there because, you know, it's not right. And, you know, I can't do nothing to protect myself. But, you know, the league does a good job. And, you know, I hopefully they ban him from all NBA games ever.
And who knows, maybe they will. It's a one-year ban at the moment.
Listen up, children. I'm about to give you a real life lesson right now. If y'all in the car ride with your parents, if you got money, you can damn near get away with anything. This dude got fined and got a year ban. Drake got a slap on the wrist. He got talked to. The Utah fan, to me, because all three of these fans are in the same situation. They've taken fandom to the next level. The fans in Utah,
yes, right.
He can't go to the game ever again. Because he ain't got money and he don't know the right people. So just keep that in mind. You know, when we're going out there getting educations and thinking that we're going to get the same opportunities as everybody else, don't work that way. If you got money, you're going to get treated a little differently. And it's funny, I also find it ironic that the same people that were defending Drake's antics with the shoulder rubbing and the jawing back and forth and Draymond Green coming out talking about he's earned the right to do that, well, the tech dude earned the right to sit on the court too. He bust his button in his job and did that, but he took it to the next level. He put his hands on somebody and called him a name. Drake did the same thing. Drake gets, you know, oh, it's not a big deal, but this cat gets kicked out.
Well, you know my rule, you know, exists, and really it was ever since Malice in the Palace. For those of you who don't know, what was it, about 15 years ago or so? If you've never seen Malice in the Palace and don't know what it was, it was the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons at the Palace at Auburn Hills. Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal and even Pistons guys, they got into it with fans. Fans were throwing beer at them, and the players went into the stands, and it got really, really, really ugly. And so from that point on, I just said, blanket rule, has to be at all times. No fans can come on the court of the field. If you come on the court of the field, you are open season. No players can go into the stands. Now, here's where it's different for the NBA than any other league. Because of the fact that those fans sit courtside.
Yeah, John, but still, you're expected to know how to act
when you go to any
sporting event. And, you know, LeBron James put out a tweet. He said if it had been the other way around and Lowry went into his office and put hands on him, he'd be arrested. And that's the truth.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth. This has gotten ridiculous.
Oh, I'm not defending this fan
in any way. No, I know you're not. My thing is this. It's gotten ridiculous to the point where, as a fan, you've paid your hard-earned money to go to the game. But that does not give you the right, regardless of who you are, to go out there and put your hands on anybody. Because
Or say anything
to anybody. Because in some people's lives and in their world, street rules apply. And what I mean by street rules is that when you put your hands on somebody, expect to get a flurry of hands back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the golden rule. You're in a situation where he's playing a game. He's locked into what he's doing. If he had taken that as a hostile situation, mm-hmm. it probably would have gotten bad for tech dude.
Hey, Kyle Lowry would have been well within his rights, in my opinion, to shove him back.
But you know what the bad part about that is,
John?
Kyle Lowry would have not – he would have gotten in trouble. He would have gotten in way more trouble.
I agree. I mean, Kyle Lowry did the bigger thing here. But my point is notwithstanding this Mark Stevens, and who knows, there's calls for him to be –
it's not going
to
happen. Whatever the calls
sell,
are, John, it's not going
to
happen.
To sell his shares of the Golden State Warriors. Okay, well, you know, we'll see.
I mean,
but I am concerned about one thing, Hugh, and that is the proximity of fans in the NBA and basketball as opposed to any other place. I'm worried that if we keep getting incidents like this happening, that we're going to get some people start to say maybe fans shouldn't be on the court anymore.
You know what's going to happen? It'll stop when somebody get punched in the face. And I'm not condoning violence, but it's gotten to the point now where fans feel entitled. People feel like they can say And we see it on Twitter every day, John. People say stuff about you on Twitter because they know that you can't put hands on them. It's gotten to the point now where, I think in order to make it go away, just say, hey, if you verbally abuse or you physically threaten somebody, they are allowed to put hands on you and it'll stop.
Well, there's such a thing as fighting words.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but when it starts to happen, because we've all been held to the standard where, you know, you gotta be the bigger man. You know, you're a celebrity. You shouldn't be able to say that. You shouldn't care what people say about you. You're making all nah, bruh. Those rules don't apply to certain people. And when you put me in harm's way, or if you say something to me that I feel that I'm being threatened, I take all threats as credible.
Yeah, I take all threats. In this day and age, I take all threats as credible. Right?
I take all threats as credible.
And so I hope that, you know, we don't have more of these incidents happen, because that's my concern, is that one of the great things about the NBA, as opposed, there are two sports where you can get really close to the action, you know, major American sports, NBA and golf. And, I mean, because golf, you're right there. I mean, if they hit a ball out of bounds or into the rough or something, you're standing right there. And so with the NBA, too, you're right there. As opposed to the NFL or baseball or hockey, where you're behind some kind of a barrier between you and the players. That's not the case in the NBA. And it's a great thing in basketball for them to be there. I am concerned if we keep having incidents.
No, it's getting worse, John. It's getting worse, because it went from you pointing at folks to throwing beer on people to calling people out their name to now shoving folks. What's next? You going to swing on players? Because you feel like they can't do anything to you? It's not going to stop until somebody puts hands on somebody who started it. I'm just saying, I'm not condoning any of this, but if you put your hands on me, expected me to put hands back on you. That's the way I look at it.
I'm not sure we're done with this Mark Stevens character. You got a one-year ban and $500,000 fine. It'll be interesting. I think there's going to be more pressure to potentially, you know, kick him off the ownership of the Warriors at the very least. Hey, Duke Sabella are going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead today. That's the one right there at Peachtree and Piedmont from 2 to 7, giving away tickets to the Tycoon Music Festival, giving away tickets to the Atlanta Dream for their game Sunday against the Connecticut Sun. The Dream and the Sun Sunday at State Farm Arena, Tycoon Music Festival Saturday night at Lakewood. You can win tickets today from Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7 at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. What Dan Quinn said about who will be at minicamp next Tuesday, next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.